In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it was another unusual, startling, unexpected week. If you were following the news, you probably saw a frail but very much alive Queen Elizabeth greeting the resigning Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, and then receiving and appointing her 15th Prime Minister later that same day. And then somehow it seemed like the next day she was dead. We knew she was not in great health, but I think it came as a surprise and something of a shock for this person who, for most of us, has been the Queen of England as long as we can remember, right? And I think I've read something like for 80% of the people of Great Britain, the only queen who's ever, the only monarch they've ever had during their entire life. It's quite a shock, and imagine the transition that the people of the United Kingdom are going through. A big shift in politics with a new prime minister, and then their monarch that they've known their whole lives, so sort of the last remaining link to the great post-war leaders, her first prime minister being none other than Winston Churchill. An incredible transition. People must be feeling very off balance, maybe even a bit lost. I know that my friends and colleagues in the Anglican Church of Canada are feeling off. One of the things I had to get used to when I served as an interim rector in Canada was the prayers of the people. They have a prayer for the Queen for 70 years. Every Sunday they've been praying for the Queen, and now all of a sudden it's for a king. Kind of a dramatic change. No matter what one might think of the institution of the monarchy and all of that, Elizabeth was an incredible person, a wonderful leader. And for us, you know, at least the titular head of our mother church, right? The Church of England, the defender of the faith. And there's no doubt in my mind, and I think most people's minds, that Elizabeth was a very devout and faithful Christian who treated her whole life and her responsibilities as ministry. So, incredible transition, incredible loss, and some people, as I said, are definitely feeling a bit lost. You all, we all, are going through a big time of transition, right? Losing your former rector, that's a little bit like a death. Right? You went through a period of grieving and mourning and loss. I'm sure you felt off balance. And then you got me. You have to put up with me for some unknown period of time, right? And looking forward, I pray, to a transition to a new rector in the not-too-distant future, but Lord only knows, literally and figuratively, who that person will be and when that person will be here and how that's all going to play out. So another big transition, and maybe you're feeling a little lost about all of that. And then, how many of us might be going through a time of transition in our own lives? Transition at work, transition in retirement, transition in a personal relationship, all kinds of changes and transitions. And again, on top of everything else, maybe some of us are feeling a little bit lost. Well, welcome to God's Lost and Found Department. This morning we have the first two of a great trilogy of parables: the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, more commonly known as the parable of the prodigal son, which we heard back in Lent. So we don't get to hear it again, but I'm hoping that you remember the essence of that parable, because it's sadly for this morning, it's really the climax, it's the culmination, it's the most powerful of the three parables, right? So what's going on? Well, once again, Jesus is sparring with the Pharisees, his old nemesis, the scribes and the Pharisees. Can you imagine such a thing as welcoming and eating with sinners and outcasts? Well, that's what Jesus has been doing, and the Pharisees are really ticked. They're grumbling. How can this guy welcome and dine with outcasts and sinners? It's the last thing in the world the Pharisees would ever consider doing. So how does Jesus respond? Well, he responds with the three parables. And he really pokes the bear. He really sticks it to them, so to speak. So first, parable of the lost sheep. Right, and Jesus says, well, which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one, wouldn't leave the 99 sheep in the wilderness and go running off for the lost sheep to find and rescue that one sheep? And of course, the real answer is, no shepherd in his right mind would consider doing such a stupid thing by the world standards, right? You're not going to leave 99 sheep to wild beasts and thieves in the wilderness and go running off after one sheep that may already be dead, maybe never find it. Nobody in his right mind would do that. I think it's fair to say, but of course, God is not in his right mind. God is in God's mind. And the beginning of a demonstration that God will go to every extreme, things that we would consider to be folly, to find, rescue, save, bring back the lost. And of course, another great thing about this parable is it gives us the wonderful image of Jesus as the good shepherd holding the lamb over his shoulders. Lots of stained glass about that. And then he really gives it to the Pharisees, right? The fact that he ends by saying God is rejoicing more over the saving of one sinner than for all of the righteous. What does he say exactly? He says, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Well, it's a double whammy, right? At first, Pharisees don't think that's true. I can't imagine that there'd be rejoicing in heaven over a sinner, an outcast. And then here's what I picture Jesus doing as he is saying, over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. I think he's looking at those scribes and the Pharisees. He's doing a big eye roll, and he's saying, yeah, or so you think that you need no repentance, Pharisees, that we need no repentance. And then we have the parable of the lost coin. So probably a poor widow. She's got a small house, but a very dark house. It's a dirt floor. You can imagine that it might be quite possible to lose a coin, and maybe it gets stepped on, gets kind of buried in the dirt. So, kind of like the shepherd, she too does something pretty extravagant and maybe foolish. She lights her lamp. Well, oil was expensive. And she lets that lamp burn for a lot longer than she normally would. She's sweeping at the dust, the dirt, until she finds that coin. And the irony is, the cost of the oil she burned probably exceeds the value of that one coin. But it's 10% of her meager assets. And again, there's great rejoicing. And then the creme de la creme, the missing parable from this morning's lectionary, the parable of the lost son, prodigal son, the forgiving father, the prodigal father. You remember from last Lent, the younger son basically considers his father to be dead. He gives up on his father. He demands his inheritance. He leaves to a foreign land. He leaves the land of the Jews and goes to a Gentile country. Of course, he squanders his newfound wealth on wine, women, and song. And suddenly he finds himself in an unthinkable position for a Jew. He's resigned to feeding the pigs. And he's starving, and he would love to even eat the food that's given to the unclean animals. Unthinkable. And he figures, I've got to go home. I've got to repent. I'll become a slave or a help hired hand to my father. And at least I'll have something to work to eat. Well, you know, remember the dad goes running towards him when he finally sees him coming. He embraces and forgives his son before he can even repent. He gives him the finest robe, a ring for his finger, sandals for his feet, and he kills a fatted calf in a land, a time where meat was incredibly scarce and valuable. Amazing extravagance, because he says, this son of mine was dead, he was lost, and now is found. It just all goes to show that God will go to every extreme to seek us out, to find us when we are lost, to forgive us when we need forgiveness, which, you know, frankly is a lot, all the time. Extravagant love and forgiveness. So welcome again to God's Lost and Found Department. Now as we soak in this good news about the extravagant grace of God, we probably should ask ourselves a question. Is there somebody out there that's lost to us? Is there someone in our life, family, work, colleagues, friends, former friends, that we've written off due to some long ago slight transgression? Maybe we thought this person was hopeless, not worthy. Can we find it in our hearts to become part of God's Lost and Found Department? Can we seek out and find and forgive and reconcile with someone in our lives that has been lost to us? Well, I pray that we might all have the grace to do that. I pray that we will be able to both accept and become part of that incredible grace of God. that amazing grace. You know the song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, and now I see. Won't you join with me? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Amen.